All of us recognize that life is never exactly the way we want it to be. I really was looking forward to this week, and I was, as it was quickly approaching, my health continued to decline, and I was just pretty sick. Why can't I be healthy for this time with my family? And it made it very difficult, troubling to me. And that's just one little tiny thing. You know, it could be driving home, and after so many hours of driving, then you hit a traffic jam, and now you're sitting. And we just want to get home. Or it could be that, in your thinking, I know things are coming to your mind now. As you have experienced things in your life that's just not the way it should be, God. Right? Shake your head if you've been there. You ever been there? Yeah. Some of you are like, not moving. I know. Listen, the reality of life we share in that we cannot control the circumstances. And they come at us when we least expect them, and boom, here we are, flat on our backs, and just wondering, how did I get here? Why me? Why now? What am I supposed to do? God has been so good to us, and if you're a believer here today, one who's trusted Christ as your Savior, His goodness you've experienced first and foremost in Him calling you to Himself, in that you have been brought into the family of God. And with that reality, you have a unique perspective on life, a perspective that our neighbors and our family members who know not God do not share and do not understand. With this in mind, the church, Christian, you here today, as I've already said, you need to be really good. The best at saying thank you. Because you know why. You understand the interworkings of the universe and of circumstances and of life, because you understand that God is real and God is over all. And God has revealed through His Word this view into life that you have because you know God, so that you can see and interpret and understand things that the world does not understand, does not see. You see, the reality of the description the Bible uses of some people are blind and some people see. God opens up our eyes spiritually so that we might see the truth. But before He did that, we're blind. We don't see it. We don't understand life. The New Testament has, well, three specific passages. I'm just going to read these, and you can look at them as well. And these three specific passages I just want to highlight before we land back in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians being the third of those passages. So please go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read these passages. And notice I say passages. I'm not just going to read a verse. I'm going to read a passage. Why? Because I want you to see and recognize how the Apostle Paul, in his writing, these are all passages from Apostle Paul, the flow, how so similar they are, how they flow, and the context is alike. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren. Have you been exhorted? You might say, well, we're just starting that part. Well, I hope you understand and saw the exhortations that have come from the Apostle Paul, from the Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul to write those words, these letters that would have been read to congregations, letters that came from the Apostle Paul who visited these churches, planted these churches. Many who came to Christ looked at the Apostle Paul as their spiritual father, and now a letter has been received, and the people gather to hear, and exhortations flow. These exhortations flow as the Apostle Paul has taught them truth and taught them doctrine, and then he says, therefore, this is the way you are to live. Embedded in these passages, we find the exhortation to be thankful. Why is it that the Spirit of God is telling the church, be thankful in everything, in this text, give thanks? Why does that have to be said? Why is that instruction given multiple times? Once to Ephesus, once to the people of Colossae, here to the people of Thessalonica. I believe that they may have been like us in many ways, heavily distracted by the circumstances of life. Perhaps they were beaten and persecuted, as it seems that the texts imply. They too grew up in a world of idolatry where there was paganism all over. There was not a worship of God. There was a worship of many gods. There was a lostness. They were blind and could not see. And then God came and he saved them gloriously, opening up their eyes that they might see the truth. So why the exhortation to be thankful? Don't you think it's just obvious? Sure, I'm going to be thankful because God has given me sight, opened my eyes that I might know the truth. And as Jesus said, you shall know the truth and what? The truth shall make you free. In Christ, I am free. But these letters are written to the church, to professing believers, people whose eyes have been opened. And the exhortation remains, in everything, give thanks. Here in Thessalonians, it's embedded in a list of instructions. We've read it already, but hear it again. And again, this is couched with this exhortation mindset. Warn them that are unruly, verse 14, he says. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Here in this list of instructions and commands that for us as we read them today, we read them from the perspective of sure, I'm supposed to do these things. Sure, I'm supposed to support the weak and be patient toward all. Sure, all of these things, I get it. Do we do it? I mean, I find it fascinating how many commands and instructions that Paul gives to the church. People who are already saved, God has redeemed them. He's doing his sanctifying work, as we're going to see here. And yet, instruction after instruction You know what? It's because I need it. It's because I don't always walk in the ways of God. Romans talks about this internal struggle that goes on between my mind and the flesh. Because I know I'm a Christian and I know what God has done in my life. I know that I've been set free by Jesus Christ and my sins have been paid for. But yet, I still will sin and I still will neglect to always obey the commands of God. As we recognize these commands given to the church, we recognize that God desires His church to be unique, to make a mark in a community. We are to be a people that, when observed by the community, they will see and recognize that God is at work in those people. We are to be a people who are leaving a mark not just by the way we live, but also the way we speak. Thinking of that rejoice evermore. Wow. I'm sure that maybe, like me, you're thinking about the last time that you didn't do that. The last time you had an opportunity and it came and it went and there was no joy. Praying without ceasing implies the importance of these special, precious words that flow from our mouth as we uplift others in prayer. And then we come to this: in everything, give thanks. If people mention your name, are you known as a person who is a person of gratitude, a person full of joy, a person who prays, a person who cares for the weak? You could go on and on and on. Now, I know we don't measure ourselves by the opinions of men, but you know what? The opinions of men are around us, and they are watching. First and foremost, how does God see you and me? He gives us instruction in everything, give thanks, and then he follows it with a very powerful statement. He says this. He says, for this is the what? The will of God. How often do we search for the will of God? How often have you asked, what am I supposed to do, God? And your word is so clear in this letter. This is the second time you see a statement like this. Just flip over to chapter 4. And in the context of his exhortation to the church concerning sexual immorality, look at verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication or sexual immorality. It's very clearly said, this is the will of God. Here, in everything, in chapter 5, in everything give thanks, we see it as God puts it here, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you see the words on the page, in everything give thanks. And yet in our hearts, we wrestle with that because things happen that we don't like. That we don't recognize as a part of the good plan of God. May this be the year that God transforms our hearts from being shackled to circumstances. And if they go well, we're thankful. If they don't go well, we'll see. We'll see how we are. Church, with God's help, no matter the circumstances, no matter what happens, we can give thanks. And I know what's going in some of your minds is, yeah, right, that sounds so good, but it's so difficult to do. Yeah, it is, because it's the work of God in you. Don't you see? Look at this. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Dear ones, we are not a people who walk through this life alone. We were, but in Christ no more. Now in Christ, we walk in Him, in the sphere of His truth, of His Spirit. And so therefore, in everything, give thanks. Thinking about being thankful, I was thinking through, what does that really mean? I teach my children, please and thank you. I believe probably most of us in here would say that. Teach your child, say please and say thank you. Why are we teaching them that? Why am I teaching my child to say thank you? There is a recognition or a calling to mind the good that has been received or experienced. If we're going to talk about being thankful or what Thanksgiving really is, it's a bringing to mind the good that has been received or experienced. I know we can be thankful in our hearts. God can see and know that. But as we did today, we expressed it. We shared it. And as a church of Jesus Christ, that is a blessing to all. But in my understanding of Thanksgiving, the word good appears. And we all make think of that word, and we might look at that word from different perspectives. We might say, well, some circumstances are good and some circumstances are not good. And so I'm driven to understanding the role that the word good, the character trait, the quality of goodness plays in our obedience to this command. You'll notice in the text the word good does appear. You'll find it in verse 15 and then in verse 21 on both sides of our verse of this command. Verse 15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all." This verse is helpful because the word good appears right in the same context with evil. And so we recognize that good is a contrast to evil. And when we read, render evil, render not evil for evil, we recognize that evil is that which is not good, that which is wicked, hurtful, that which is not of God. And so we come, ever follow that which is good. We begin to form our understanding of that which is good in the fact that it is not evil. And if it is not of evil, then it's going to be good. And who is good? Who has defined for us the quality of good or goodness? I know this may seem very elementary, but I needed this reminder. God has defined for us goodness. And if in everything give thanks, if we're going to do this, then we need to assume or understand God and His goodness. And as we do, we will be able to bring to mind the good that has been received or experienced because we're understanding good through the eyes and qualities, attributes of God Himself. I just want to remind you of what God said at the very beginning. He looked at His creation and He said, "This is all very good." You know, up to that point, that word was not expressed. That was not something that had been said. But God said that first because He wanted us to understand He's the one who's defining goodness. So He's made it all, and then He looks at it all, and He said, "That's all very good." Think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. That's the one you're not supposed to eat. But mankind did eat of it, and their eyes were opened. And they understood both good and evil. And so from that point on, these two qualities, good and evil, were in this world, in our realm. So giving thanks in everything. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Yes, that word everything is there. And so as life comes at us, may God remind us often of not just this instruction, but of Him as the definer of that which is good. Can I just remind you of what Jesus said and when that man said, "Good master," and Jesus looked at him and said, "Only God is good." I invite you to either, you can listen with me, I'm going to go through several psalms, or if you want to keep turning, you can do this, but I'm going to go through several because I want you to hear the expression of the Lord's goodness. Psalm 34 in verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." This is an exercise of teaching ourselves truth, because we're going to come across a time when things just don't look good. And that's the time when we need to remember the Lord is good. And if the Lord is good, then He can help me be thankful in this circumstance. Doesn't mean we have to just look for horrible situations. They're going to come. God knows this. That's why He's given us this command. In everything, give thanks. Psalm chapter 52 and verse 1. "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." Psalm 86 and verse 5. "For Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Psalm 106, in verse 1. "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Psalm 106, verse 8. "Oh, that the men should praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of God men. That is repeated in verse 15. That is repeated in verse 21. That is repeated in verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me your statutes. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Good is compared with evil in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. You know, if you're holding fast to that which is good, you're holding fast to the Lord. As you contemplate and think of this, in everything give thanks, I believe it's important for us to realize this is of the heart, not just of the lips. I was curious if in the scriptures there was ever an example of someone who was thanking God and not being sincere. This can happen often with us, especially if we're trying to put on a good front. If we're enduring some very difficult struggles, and so we'll publicly say, I'm thankful, but deep in our heart of hearts, that's not true. God knows all of that, and that's something he deals with you or me personally about. But you remember that account that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 18 about two people went up to pray at the temple. And I just share this with you to help you realize that words can be cheap. It's the heart that matters. These two people went up to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And Luke 18:11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he said this, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican over here. I fast twice the week. I give tithes to all that I of all that I possess. He's thanking God. You know, as I contemplate that, you know what this tells me? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I can't just let words blubber out. I need to engage by faith my heart. You know what? That might mean that you're not so quick to just let it come out. But you might say, God, help me. I'm worn out from driving, and now we're sitting in traffic. I don't like this circumstance. Will you help me to see the good? God's okay with that. And as God, you know what God does? He will answer that prayer. He reveals the good because that's who he is. The Lord is good. And we are to hold fast to that which is good. And so as Paul wraps up his letter to the Thessalonians, he says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You know what? God knows you don't have it all together. That's because he says, so he's given you, he's doing his work of sanctifying you, setting you apart. And Paul's reminding us of that today. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, which means he's going to complete the work he started. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. He's going to do it under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Engage by faith. Engage the circumstances of life. If it's a cancer diagnosis, engage by faith in the goodness of God, and he will open your eyes. If it's a death in the family, engage your faith in the goodness of God, and he will show you how you can be thankful. Fill in the blanks, the circumstances you're dealing with right now in your life, and engage by faith, because God has said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We can trust him. Giving thanks, may it not just be words that flow from our lips, but may it be expressions from the very core of our being as we engage by faith in the goodness of God. Lord, help us to be people of gratitude who have understood your goodness. Give us eyes to see it. Because God, we so quickly see our circumstances from our own eyes, from our own minds. Oh God, quickly, quickly change our heart. Show us your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.